Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring clinical and forensic psychologist Joni Johnston.
The defense team for Richard Allen in the Delphi murder case, they have some questions for investigators. We'll see if they have any answers. It comes as prosecutors want Richard Allen's defense to be held in contempt of court for mishandling evidence and violating a gag order. It's a lot of back and forth and not a lot of moving this where we should be to getting to a trial to get justice for the two little girls who were murdered in that woods in Delphi, Indiana. Joining me to discuss, Dr. Joni Johnston, forensic psychologist. Where do you see this going at this point? Because it takes twists and turns every other day. A lot of infighting going on here, but I think that defense team really wants to figure out why Richard Allen is behind bars to begin with.
I think I need one of those magic eight balls. Remember those?
This case has been like, let's see here, shake it up. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's about what I can do at this point. I've never seen, we've heard everybody say the same thing. I mean, I'm just hoping that we don't lose sight of, you know, of Abby and Libby, because we've never seen anything like this in terms of the maneuverings and the accusations and the, you know, conspiracy theories and all kinds of things. So this seems to me like another, you know, kind of shot across the bow. Mm-hmm. You know, the prosecutor is wanting this to happen, the defense to be punished for this. The defense is saying, you know, you lost these interviews and, you know, now we think you did it deliberately or whatever. And so it's just more legal wrangling. And then you have the whole issue with the judge and how that's kind of playing itself out. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen this case?
There is so much. Yeah.
There is so much. And it's like, are we even going to have a trial? It's going to feel almost like the trial is anticlimactic after all the things that have happened up to now. So I think, you know, keeping our eye on justice and trying to figure out what that is so challenging. I can't imagine, you know, trying to select a jury pool.
Yeah. And if we do get to a trial and if he's convicted, there will be a second trial. He basically has a new trial free card. After all of the wrangling that's been going on here. One thing I want to also ask you about on this is the deleted interviews. Of course, the prosecution saying, "Oh, these are nothing. we deleted, or they got accidentally deleted a long time ago. Somebody pressed record and it recorded over everything prior to this date." Which had a lot of information on it. It seems like kind of a broad statement to say that these were of zero value. I would imagine they had to be of some sort of value if they sat down and recorded them to begin with.
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the very least, you see somebody's body language, their demeanor, you see how they're responding to questions. I mean, we know that, you know, what is it, 90% of communication is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of information that's missing now that would not have been there. I mean, I think the question then becomes, okay, is there a solution? I mean, there's a couple of ways they can go. They can keep, you know, pointing fingers at each other and be like, oh, you deleted these deliberately, or no, we didn't. It was an accident. There were no value or whatever. or go out there and re-interview them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's like, if I think is going to clarify things. Is this a defense strategy to throw smoke on everything? Or is this genuinely, we're missing this information? If I'm a defense attorney, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be interviewing those two people myself.
Well, exactly. And that was even brought up in the argument from the prosecution saying, you know, these two are still around. They can be interviewed again. But we are talking now, originally interviewed 2017. We're talking seven, 8 years later. After the fact, I would imagine what you would get today in an interview would be very different than what happened the week that these girls went missing, would you not?
Yes. And I think, you know, I think there are some notes mm-hmm. that have been retained. So it's not that everything is missing, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't want to minimize the fact that there is information that is going to be missing and is not recoverable. And that is the how these people were and how they presented themselves and specifically what they said word for word back in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all that the defense can do moving forward is to, you know, make sure they've reviewed those notes and as much as possible, perhaps interview the investigators who interview the individuals, mm-hmm. which I think they're wanting to depose.
Yes.
There's some back and forth with that. And then doing the best they can in terms of going out and interviewing the people today.
One of the big things that gets brought up quite often when we're talking about Richard Allen, because there is so much evidence that points to it not being Richard Allen, that this just seems like a very bizarre witch hunt, but you do have the alleged confessions. Now, we've never heard the confessions. Apparently, they were made over the phone to his family members, not to investigators, but there are such things as false confessions. What is your take on the allegations? Let's assume that they did take place, that he did admit to these crimes to his wife. What are the odds of that? What's your thoughts on that? Could this be something that was done under duress, or could this be something that was done out of an enormous amount of guilt?
Typically, when we look at false confessions, you know, they happen under a couple of different circumstances. I mean, one is the voluntary false confession. In other words, Tony, you do something bad. I care about you. I confess.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you did it. I'm kind of covering for you. Okay. And that's not the kind of confession we see most often. There's a voluntary confession. What we're talking about here potentially is a coerced confession. And when you look, you see a couple of different things that kind of that commonly crop up. One is sometimes it's a teenager, somebody who's pretty unsophisticated. So it can be the person or somebody who has an intellectual disability. So somebody who's vulnerable to manipulation. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you have the actual interrogation itself. You know, does it go on for hours and hours? Does a person deprived of food or drink? Do the investigators kind of pretend like everything's going to be okay if they just confess? I mean, there's those kinds of things. So those are the things that you tend to see in this kind of coerced confession. Now, it's unusual in a false confession for the person to confess to a wife mm-hmm. and to a mom.
Okay.
Typically, you're confessing to law enforcement mm-hmm. because you're in an interrogation. And that's where it becomes kind of confusing. Is this person confessing because they did it or confessing because they're afraid mm-hmm. and they feel coerced into it? The only scenario that I can think that would make me think this is a coerced confession is if for some reason Richard Allen felt like he was being threatened or his life was, you know, was at stake. If he did not confess, and he in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation where if somebody's standing by him or sitting by him and saying, if you don't confess to these things, we're going to do A, B, and C. I mean, he's in a closed environment.
Yeah.
Right. He's in a captive environment. We're going to do A, B, and C. That is the only thing that makes sense to me if he didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other part of it is, like you said, the other option would be this is somebody who's so riddled with guilt that he then confesses to his mother and to his mom, to his mm-hmm. wife. I don't know why, though, if you're being kind of coerced by custody officers, for example, why wouldn't they just coerce you into confessing to police as opposed to your wife and to your mom? So that part of it, I would love to know more information in terms of what he said mm-hmm. and the circumstances under which he said it.
I think listening to that phone call would give us all the answers.
Yes, I do too.
And everything, if it exists, or I wouldn't be surprised if suddenly, oops, that tape's gone too.
Yeah. I've no value, right? I've no, yeah, and it had no value to the case.
Ask,
right?
the magic eight ball. Does the tape exist? That'll be our answer.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.